you doing, Nick?
Guys, I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you coming on. First of all, I want to ask, because I know you went to Purdue. Was Drew Brees your teammate? I'd ask that off the bat.
Drew Brees was not my teammate at Purdue. He was my inspiration to walk onto the football team when I did. I was in Marine Corps ROTC. I was watching in the stands. Brees mania. I mean, people were lighting couches on fire watching him win a Big Ten championship at Purdue University, which you're watching now. You can see how hard it is for Purdue to have success in the Big Ten. But when I got drafted 3 years later, Drew Brees was my quarterback at San Diego with the Chargers. The very first day there at the training table, having lunch, sitting down, Drew Brees walks up, puts his hand on my shoulder. Never met him before, and he said, "Hey, Boilermaker, how you doing?" I looked up and I said, "Oh my freaking God, it's Drew Brees!" And in my head, of course, I'm freaking out. And then I just said, "Hey, good, I'm great, Drew. You want to sit down and have lunch?" And we sure did. It was just an unbelievable dream come true for me, and I got a snap to him for 2 years after that.
Oh, how awesome is that? You know, I want to ask, we were talking about how to build up a program. We were actually talking about UVM hockey, but when you picked Purdue, was it because of, you know, you growing up in Indiana? Was it because of the facilities? Was it because they could take you to the next level? I'm just kind of wondering, what makes you pick a school like that?
Yeah, so for me, I picked the school because it was one of the only ones that I got into. I didn't have strategy coming out of high school. I was actually a high school wrestler. I didn't play high school football. So I went to Purdue because my best friend went to Purdue. I didn't really know what else to do, and I thought I'd join the ROTC program there. 2 years into my career, or my student career, is when I decided to walk on. It was my fourth semester at Purdue. So I don't know why guys make the decisions they do, but I'll tell you this. I'm looking with my boys. I got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and we wake up certain mornings and we just find a random college and we say, tour football facility, and we watch YouTube videos while we're eating breakfast, getting ready for school in the morning. And I'm telling you, these facilities look nothing like my experience at Purdue, and even Purdue's facility looks nothing like it did when I was there. It is unbelievable. I think they poured like $65 million into a brand new facility, and it's all towards recruiting kids to come there. It's just unbelievable.
Wow.
In fact, you've got an 8- and a 6-year-old boy, and you're surviving, and that's impressive. So,
more than surviving, I'm thriving. I love these dudes. Oh, they're my favorites, my best friends.
Your life is not dull. Hey, listen, Nick.
Oh, gosh, no.
We're a Patriots station up here in New England. I got to ask you, though, you played with Philip Rivers forever, and I'm sure he's your guy, obviously, for many reasons, but what do you make of the Tom Brady to the Chargers rumors?
Yeah, I just think that's ridiculous. And in my head, when I'm seeing it, it's like, okay, Tom Brady's going to come to the Chargers and do what? He's going to build a production company? Tom Brady's so intensely focused on his football career right now, he's got no time for everything else. I just don't think he has any interest while he's playing and being a LeBron James type. He can move when he's done. He seems so singularly focused. But outside of that, you're going to go from the New England Patriots to the Chargers. You're going to go from an organization who has their own, two of them, 737 jumbo jets with Patriots painted on the side. Those are their planes. The Chargers team that I was on and the Chargers team that I know currently, they're renting jets. They're chartering flights. They probably don't have Wi-Fi or even movies that they're playing on those things. If Tom comes from the Patriots to the Chargers and looks at the facility, he's going to go, This is not in a good neighborhood, is what I can imagine him saying. Going from an organization who's one of the wealthiest in the National Football League to a team who's noted as one of the unwealthiest in there. And I always classify it as amongst the owners, you have owners and you have renters. And the Chargers are one of the renters. Not that I didn't have a great experience there. Not that everybody didn't treat me well. I didn't know any different. I loved playing for the team. But I'm just saying, Tom would vastly understand the difference coming from, I would imagine, the Patriots to the Chargers. And not to mention, Philip Rivers got 5 wins this year. They didn't have an offensive line who could protect an immobile quarterback. They didn't have any deep threat weapons that could break the game open with one throw. They have Keenan Allen. They have Mike Williams. They have two really good possession receivers. Keenan, one of the best in the league. Love watching the guy play. But they're just not ready for Tom Brady to come in and go win a championship with him. He's not the difference that they're looking for. I just don't feel like they're ready, and I think if Tom were to take a really close look at the Chargers, he would see the same thing.
Nick Hardwick, former NFL center, Pro Bowler, All-Pro, 11 years with the Chargers, now a radio or now a podcast host on the Believe Podcast Network. He's here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. You look, I'm sorry to rub salt in the wound, but I got to ask the question. You guys were beaten by the Patriots in the 06 playoffs. After that game, LaDainian Tomlinson slams the Pats for mocking you guys and then calls Bill Belichick classless. Do you remember how you felt after that game?
Well, I just down in the dumps. I remember going to the car after that game, and my wife wouldn't look at me because we lost. That's how I felt. I didn't even understand. I didn't know all the ballyhoo was going on in the field. And I think I remember reading Vince Wilfork took their sign and planted it into the 50-yard line, and LT got mad. And, you know, that happens after a game. I tell you, I hated the Patriots when I was playing them. Hated them. But the longer we played against them and the longer I've watched them, I just admire them from afar. I mean, to maintain the level of success and excellence that they have, it's astonishing. It really is a marvel in the free agent era with all the moving parts, a completely complex and changing game. It's a moving target all the time. They've always stayed well ahead of the curve. And, I mean, I've said it, and this is just one of those outlier years. The Patriots base camp is the AFC Championship game. This didn't happen to be one of those years. I happen to think they're in, you know, a little micro rebuild here, but they'll get it done really quickly. They always do. I think they won a Super Bowl championship when they were in the middle of a micro rebuild last year. And that tells you what kind of level they operate at. Everybody else is hoping, like I did, to get a play in one AFC Championship game. They live there. It's unreal.
Nick, we love asking this question, so I'm going to ask you, who's the best teammate you've ever had?
Phillip Rivers was my favorite teammate, and he still is, and he's my best friend. And I think a lot of guys who played alongside Phil would give you the exact same answer. He's just an unbelievable dude. He's just a great human being. He's incredibly down to earth. He's salt of the earth. And I've never met anybody who cares as much as Phil. He just cares as much about his teammates, cares much about the game and his work and what he puts out. He's a very thoughtful human being. He's very pure inside, doesn't even allow himself to have bad thoughts. I mean, I remember sitting at tables with my buddies and all of us at snack during training camp, and sometimes the conversation would turn a little bit sideways, and Phil would just excuse himself from the table. He wouldn't make anybody feel bad. He wouldn't say, guys, can we shift directions? He would just remove himself and allow us to continue our conversation that we were having that he didn't really want to be a part of. He never diminished anybody or demeaned anybody for talking or feeling or acting the way that they did. He's just always carried himself with the utmost respect for himself, his family, and I got to believe just his parents are just incredibly proud of him. He's a great human being. And in my head, Phillip Rivers, there should be a saint attached to him. He's Saint Rivers, and he's got nine kids.
Wow.
He's got nine kids, and you go over to his house for a Thanksgiving or a Christmas dinner. I went over there 3 years ago, and it was after a game. My wife had gone back to Canada to hang out with her family, and this was when I was still the color analyst for the team. So Phil said, hey, I know Jamie's gone. Come over for dinner. You know, Kellen Clemens and his family's going to be there. I show up, and his wife had her first migraine ever that morning, was incapacitated, couldn't make it out. Nonetheless, there was two tables set, name tags, placemats, the whole works. Every single dish you could imagine was out there. Green bean casserole. He had a turkey cooking on the green egg. He had gravy. He had homemade cranberry sauce. Wow. He had canned cranberry sauce. He had three different desserts out there. He made them all with his kids, and his wife didn't show up, and they didn't skip a beat. I mean, you'd spend time around his family, and I think that's the real testament, is kind of his children's behavior and the way they carry themselves and the way they interact with adults. He's an awesome man. Yeah.
Here I am saying you have a 6- and 8-year-old. I don't know how you do it. Can you imagine what it's like for him? So,
I think he goes, I think it goes from 17 down to 8 months.
So it's the craziest character.
With about every year and a half or 2 years in there, he's got another child.
How about the craziest guy you ever played with, Nick?
I got a bunch of crazies now. I mean, the locker room's full of crazy. And that's kind of the fun part about it, is you get this mix of cultures, and you get this mix of socioeconomic backgrounds, where guys come from, and it's just a total blast. The craziest guy I played with on the football field, though, was my left guard, Chris Dielman. He was buck wild. He was our pit bull. We kept him leashed up, and we turned him loose on dudes. And I'm telling you, there were so many guys that when Chris got that rage in his eyes, they just completely wilted because they knew their will was broken and he was going to beat them into submission. He was a hell of a football player. Career got cut a little short due to concussions, but he was a Hall of Famer in the making, had four Pro Bowls, four All Pros. He was an absolute beast on the field, but buck wild, too. I remember, let me share a little quick story. Mike Vrabel, you know, he was with the Patriots, and it was in that 06 playoff game that you guys talked about earlier. We're down at the goal line, and Philip Rivers runs a quarterback sneak at the end, I think, of the second or the third, or the end of the first of the third quarter. We're about to change ends. We run a sneak, and I'm standing up getting off the ground. Vrabel's driving his left shoulder into my shin and cranking on my foot under the pile. I'm hitting him on top of the head, like, get off of my leg. I thought I was going to get a 15-yard penalty. We both get up, and I said, what are you thinking? He goes, I thought it was Rivers' arm. And Dielman heard him. Of course, the buzzer goes, and it ended up being the second or the fourth quarter. We're jogging down to the other end, me and Dielman, like we always did. And Vrabel catches up to us. He doesn't apologize to me for trying to break my leg. He's apologizing to Chris because he didn't want Chris to get turned loose on him. And Chris just couldn't even hear a word he was saying. He completely ignored him. It was one of the better memories that I have. And I do. I got to know Vrabel after that. Really good dude. Spent some good time with him. He was just as fierce of a competitor as they come.
Nick, real quick before we get you out of here, I did some Wikipedia research, and it said that you previously coached women's soccer at San Diego State. I couldn't verify that. Is that actually true? You went from the NFL to women's soccer coach?
No. That my wife coached soccer at San Diego State.
Oh, I was like, okay. I was looking up rosters. I'm like, okay, where are we going here?
none of that. Although I probably, you know, was just naturally confident guy. It's like, you put me in there, I'm going to coach my ass off. I'm going to find them a way to win a championship.
But
that's just probably more ignorance on my part.
Hey, who are you taking in the game? Who are you picking? Kansas City, San Francisco?
I think it's going to be a really competitive game, pick'em game. And when it comes down to it, I like all of the tenets of San Francisco. I think they're built a little bit like the Patriots were last year. Really strong defense, although they've got a better front four. Great pass rush, got a really good offensive line, built on the run game, got a great tight end and a good fullback, just like the Patriots had last year when they won their championship. All of that said, they don't have Patrick Mahomes, and they don't have all of the speed that the Chiefs have. And I think it's going to be a close game because I think these games oftentimes are. And at the end of the game, I'm putting my money on a dude who is always cool under pressure, Patrick Mahomes. I think he gets out of the pocket a bunch. I think he disrupts that pass rush. I know they're a really disruptive unit, but I think he throws them off. I think they have to show some restraint in what they're doing. And at the end of the game, Patrick Mahomes is going to win it for the Chiefs and Andy Reid's first Super Bowl.
Wow. Nick Hardwick, former NFL center, 11 years with the Chargers. You can check him out at the Believe Podcast Network. Nick, man, that was great. You crushed it. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Got to do it again.
Hey, guys, anytime you need me, you got my number now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nick Hardwick, everybody. Former NFL center. Yeah, it seems like a real...